Good morning again. And thank you for this opportunity to talk with you today. And I hope it's going to be a good one because our topic today is about the gift of joy. The gift of joy, continuing our Christmas gift series. And that sounds to me like a good idea, the gift of joy, because there's not too much joy around the moment, is there? If you watch the news, if you can still bear to do that, or read the papers, you know, whatever you think about the future of our nation, whether we're going to become a new independent nation or just be generally a bit more impoverished and inconvenienced in some way, either way, it's not going to be much fun, is it? I don't think. When I walk down Loughton High Road during the week, it kind of feels like there's something missing. There's a bit of joy missing. And that's despite the fact we have an increasingly good range of coffee shops and restaurants. We've got a fresh salad company, a boulangerie, and a trendy butcher. And even so, there's something missing, and it's not just cakes and shakes, which is no longer with us, unfortunately. And when I get the Central Line into London on a Monday morning, I mean, obviously it's Monday morning, so maybe not surprising, but there's something missing a bit from missing some joy. It's all about sort of, you know, try and get a seat. If you do, keep your head down so you don't have to give it up to anyone else. And I must admit, I hold my hand up to that one as well. I mean, I'm training to be a vicar. I've got some important theology to read, and I can't possibly be expected to help anybody at that at that time in the morning. So I did a bit of research into how to find joy, and I found a good website called www.success.com. And these are, so here's some possible advice. So here are some suggestions. Make self-care part of your routine. Possible to. Appreciate the small things. I'm not sure what those are, but they're small. So surround yourself with positive people, which is not easy if you're on the school run in the morning. Find bliss in a bucket list. Possibility. And this is going to appeal to some more than others. Dress in costume for no reason. when I read that, I immediately thought of Mark Pettit for some reason at the church weekend. So I'm not saying these things to discount them or make fun of them, because obviously, you know, God's made the world and everything in it. So there's lots of things we can enjoy. Obviously, we can have a glass of wine, go on holiday, eat strawberry laces, or whatever we like, really. But is that what the Bible means when it talks about joy? You know, a kind of enjoying the good things in life, or finding bliss in a bucket list? And the answer is no, not really at all, actually, because the gift of joy comes from Jesus. The gift of joy comes from Jesus. And why is that? Well, the Bible talks quite a lot about joy. There's lots of references to joy in the Bible. And almost all of them are not about our circumstances, but they're about what God has done. And if they're ever about our circumstances, it tends to be about hard times rather than good times, which we'll come on to a bit later. So you could say that joy is a bit like catching a glimpse of what God has done, what God is doing, and God will do through Jesus. It's a bit like when the clouds suddenly part and the sun shines down on us. And the sun's always shining, you know that, don't you, obviously? But obviously the clouds sometimes come, but we see things as they are really with God. So if joy is about what God has done, then through Jesus, then what exactly has God done through Jesus? Well, he's saved us, basically. That's what he's done. He's saved us. And as you read through the Bible, you start to get these beautiful pictures of joy start coming out. So we read in Isaiah things like, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. And things like, those the Lord has rescued will return. They'll enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And then, the first Christmas, the famous words to the shepherds from the angel, who says to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So the message of joy is not just that a baby has been born, although that's a good thing, but it's that a Saviour has been born. And what was that to mean as that baby grew up to be a man who died on a cross? Well, it means exactly what it says in the first verse of our reading today from 1 Peter, which says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So according to Peter, true and lasting joy is found in salvation, in the salvation that Jesus has brought us. There's new life and there's hope in Jesus, and it's been given to us. So it's like Jesus has come close. It's like God has reached down, and Jesus has come close, and he's set us on a different path when we deserve death. And he wants to live in relationship with us. So, how do you relate to that? Can you relate to that, the experience of salvation? So how was it for you personally? It could have been a big event when you came to know Jesus, or maybe a process. A lot of us, it's kind of a process we go through. It might be gradual, not dramatic. And I think here we're not too prescriptive about kind of the nuts and bolts of what happens exactly when you're saved. But I think it definitely involves Jesus, doesn't it? And it involves change. So it's like Jesus came, I responded, and everything is different. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you were, these are all true stories, by the way. Maybe you were growing up as a teenager, and you kind of came to faith then, but then later on in your 20s in Streatham in South London, you encountered Jesus in a new way. Maybe you were growing up in Nigeria, and when you were 6 years old, your mum told you the gospel and you decided to respond there and then. And why not? Maybe you came to an Alpha course in the Hope Centre with some questions about God, and you ended up experiencing the Holy Spirit in a different way. Maybe you walked into Cafe Hope and thought there was something different there, and that's been the start of a journey for you. Or maybe you were saved out of a family of brokenness and addiction and were brought to know Jesus. All those are true stories. One of them is me. The first one. I was wondering. Somewhere in this experience of salvation, there will be joy. I think there'll be joy. And I remember I was, a couple of years after I became a Christian again, I was reading Psalm 103. I think I was struggling with something or feeling guilty about sin of some kind. And I was reading Psalm 103, and I was kind of, I think I was sort of kneeling by my bed or something, and, you know, kind of a bit kind of kneeling down. And I read that verse about, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. And it just, one of those verses at times, God spoke to me in my heart, and I think I kind of stood up and sort of said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. And I should also say that joy is not just about about us. You know, as long as I'm okay with God, that's all right. I think we can experience joy as much, or even if not more, with seeing God working in other people as well. And I don't know if they're in today, they're probably out, but we've had, the last few months, we've had the privilege and joy of welcoming some of the teenagers from the church round to our house on a Wednesday evening. And that's been great because even though there's lots of chat and phones and sort of long and loud games, and that's just Mike Smith, basically. Even though there's all those things, which are good things, there's faith, and more than that, actually, there's kind of God's calling on people's lives, and that is a joy to see. But it's not as if the gift of joy is just about remembering something from the past, as if our salvation is something that happened in the past and we can remember it, maybe. Because joy continues to come from Jesus. But one thing is, we need to continue to receive it as a gift and not get too caught up in our kind of achievements or attainments for our joy. And I've got something to say, Dan, could we have the first slide? I don't know if you can see that very well. But this is a circle which I find quite helpful. You're meant to start with acceptance, and then you go around in the clockwise direction, sustenance, significance, and achievement. But the problem is, what we often do is we often try and kind of force things the wrong way around, don't we? So if for any reason we struggle with feeling not accepted in any way, either by God or other people, we think, oh, well, if I achieve something or attain something, whatever that might be, then I will find significance of some kind. That will sustain me, and then I will be accepted. I'll be accepted. But the thing is, that is the wrong way around. We need to feel accepted by God first, and keep receiving, finding our joy and acceptance in Jesus. Our favourite film at the moment is The Greatest Showman. And I know it's just kind of a lightweight musical, but there's a good line in it where there's this opera singer she's the best singer in Europe, and she's just received critical acclaim in America. And she talks about not being accepted as a child. And she says, the result of that is that leaves a hole that no amount of standing ovations can ever fill. And that's kind of right, isn't it? So if you remember Jesus at his baptism, when God the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know when that happened, don't you? That happened before Jesus had done anything at all. He hadn't healed anyone or preached or anything like that. But God, at the very start of Jesus' ministry, affirmed him as a son. And then other things follow. Whether or not we achieve anything or not, that's not the point. So, thank you. We can lose the slide. Thank you. So, as we continue to receive the gift of joy from Jesus, the joy of the Lord is also our strength day by day. And that's what Peter says to the believers in verse 6 when he says, in all this you greatly rejoice. In all this, meaning the salvation and new hope and life. Even though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And that reminds us that joy in the Bible is often connected with suffering. And somewhere in the Bible it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." And that reminds us that joy is not the same as happiness. Because happiness comes and goes, doesn't it, with our circumstances. But joy is something deeper, and it's focused on something bigger, and it comes from Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And when I was, a few years ago, I went through a period of unemployment, and even though I thought maybe God was calling me to something else, I was still going for some job interviews. And there was one job interview in particular where I thought I was going to get the job, and I thought it was kind of the answer to all our problems. And everything seemed to go well, but I found out I didn't get it. I didn't get the job. And that was a kind of that was kind of a difficult evening, and then a difficult morning the next morning when I woke up thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know what's going to happen now. But then there was, strangely, a kind of sense of joy which came, which is basically about, although I didn't know what was going to happen, there was a sense of God's presence, whatever that was going to mean. And so that means that joy can be experienced kind of through tears or alongside tears in some ways and at some times. It's not the same as a kind of naive happiness. And in that way, I am so grateful for God's gift of joy. It's not, as I say, it's not a kind of naive happiness, but it is life-giving and sustains us at difficult times. And actually, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about Jesus, and I was reminded about Jesus like showing me his hands and his feet, as if he just reminding us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So as if he's saying, you know, it's okay, I've got this. It's okay, I've got this, because he's suffered for us. And at this point, we reach the kind of almost like the mystery of the Christian faith. And this is one of my favourite verses, verse 8, which we read earlier, that though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And that's kind of the mystery of the Christian faith, isn't it, really? That, I mean, what I mean is, have you thought about what you're doing here today, really? Do you know that you're here because you believe in a guy called Jesus who died about 2,000 years ago, but we believe he came back from the dead? And here we are today rejoicing, even though we haven't seen him, we love him. And even though we don't see him now, we believe in him. And that's crazy, isn't it, really? But I'm happy to say that. I'm happy to say that I haven't seen Jesus in the flesh. I've read about him in the Bible. But I do believe in him, and I do love him. And, and the only explanation for that, especially when you think about many of our brothers and sisters being persecuted in other countries and so on, is you have to think it has to be God. Doesn't it? It has to be Jesus. It has to be the Holy Spirit that that keeps us going. And I just want to consider, if any of this is sounding a bit unreal, I just want to consider one potential objection from somebody called Karl Marx. Karl Marx was a German economist who lived in London for a while in the 19th century. And he used to spend his days reading in the British Library and his nights going on pub crawls down Tottenham Court Road. So I'm willing to listen to anyone like that. And he said that religion is the opium of the masses. Okay, now that's quite good. So he was basically saying that having faith in Jesus, is a bit like taking drugs. It gives you a kind of pleasant illusion, and you know, help and it kind of dulls the pain. But basically, it's bad for you, and not only is it bad for you, it's bad for society, because obviously the world really needs a revolution, but you're not going to get it from the Christians who are just kind of sitting around high on Jesus, basically. So what do you think? Is believing in Jesus a bit like taking drugs? Well, I would say no, obviously, because the kingdom of God, sorry, that just to clarify that one, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy is an essential part of who God is and how he rules. So when you experience joy in the Holy Spirit, you're not running away from reality, but you're entering into a greater reality. You're entering the reality of the world to come, the new world of the kingdom. And you are, in fact, taking part in a revolution, a kingdom revolution, a revolution of righteousness, peace, and joy. And we look forward to the day when this world will be there. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. So the gift of joy comes from Jesus. It continues to come through Jesus, and it will be completed by Jesus. So just to finish, I just wanted to maybe speak to two groups of people here today. Maybe the first one, is there might be a few people here today who would say, I haven't known this. I haven't experienced the gift of joy from Jesus and salvation. So if that is you, just say the word. No one is excluded or disqualified. If you're willing to come to Jesus, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everything we've been talking about can be yours if you're willing to come to Jesus. New life, hope, joy inexpressible. I don't mean to, we're not here to kind of promise immediate spiritual experience. That's not really the point. But the solid and unshakable reality of everything that Jesus has done for us. There might be some other people here today, and you would say, okay, I know this and I get it, but I'm not really feeling it right now. And I often fit into that group. So I just wanted to remind you of a prayer from Psalm 51, which is, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And I believe that that is a prayer that Jesus loves to answer, and he will answer it. But if you feel that might not quite cut it for you, I thought we could just read a prayer together. This is from Habakkuk. And Dan, if you got the second slide, that would be great. And this is a prayer. It should come up on the screen, hopefully. And this is a prayer from Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet. He prayed for revival in a time when it didn't come. So yeah, if you'd like to, would you like to join me in praying this prayer? So though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive tree fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. And yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I'll be joyful in God my Saviour. Yeah, so if either or neither of those things apply to you, I pray that you receive the gift of joy this Christmas. Receive it as a gift from Jesus. It comes from him, it continues with him, and will be completed by him. There's nothing, I would say, that can compare with it. There's nothing. It's a precious, precious gift. Because one day, although we don't see him now, one day we will see him. We will see him. One day we will see him, and our joy will be made full. Amen.